Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Debbie Guy Geese with the Pettowitz Group, and welcome to WRMR, Revenue Marketer Radio. Every Thursday, we meet to talk to a real live revenue marketer and learn tips and tricks on how to make that critical transition from traditional marketing to revenue marketing. And it's more than just about listening. This is an interactive show, so please feel free to call in or chat. Just press 1 on your dial. It will put you in to our switchboard, and we'll be happy to include you in the dialogue. I am so pleased to announce that our show this week is actually live from the Marketo User Summit in beautiful San Francisco. So it's just a pleasure to be here with over 600 revenue marketers today. It's quite exciting. So before I introduce our guest today, I would like to take one moment and define the term revenue marketer, because we have new listeners that come into the show every week and they're like, revenue marketer? What's a revenue marketer? I think I know, but maybe you could tell me some more. So a revenue marketer is a specific type of marketer. It is not another check in your to-do box. And this revenue marketer has revenue or revenue-related accountability through the kinds of campaigns, communications, and digital interactions they set up and execute. They are absolutely responsible for the top of the sales funnel and for interacting with and nurturing leads until they are sales ready. And they all use some type of marketing automation platform integrated with CRM to power their revenue marketing practices and to drive real revenue results. So what we do on our radio show every week is we explore all facets of what it is to be a revenue marketer and what it takes to build a revenue marketing practice. So we discuss topics like metrics, skills and compensation, what kind of organizational structure, key processes you need to align and fix, how to work with sales, what your technology stack should look like, what do you do about content and creative, and just overall demand generation strategies and tactics. And the great thing about this show is it's not an expert telling you what you should be doing. These are revenue marketers who are on the show, and they all began where you are today. And they're here to share their journey, their successes, and also their gotchas, so that your journey to becoming an elite revenue marketer will be quicker and smoother. Now, I am so pleased to announce today's guest. How cool. We're sitting out here in beautiful San Francisco, 600 revenue marketers we're surrounded by at the Marketo Customer Summit. And our guest today is Jody Florence, who was the very first Marketo customer. Jody's currently the marketing director at Ideology, which is a B2B company, and they provide identity verification solutions that help organizations drive revenue, reduce costs, and most importantly, prevent fraud. With a marketing career that spans 18 years, Jody leads the strategy and execution of all of Ideology's marketing efforts, including using a demand generation solution, which is Marketo, to power the lead generation activities of her company. She works to educate all of their customers and partners on identity-related issues, including identity theft, data breaches, and also consumer privacy. Her passion, and I can tell you this is absolutely the truth, her passion is to discover ways to do this with innovative marketing technologies. So, Jody, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Debbie. It's good to be here.
So what's it like being at a Marketo conference with 600 revenue marketers?
Oh, it's just amazing. I mean, I'm so impressed and so happy to see how many people came to the conference this year. You know, this is the second year that Marketo has put the conference on, and I was here at last year's conference, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of people here, even last year, and then this week or this year, I'm just blown away by the number of attendees. So it's exciting.
It is. It's thrilling to see all these people talking about revenue marketing, basically. What's been your biggest takeaway from the conference so far?
I think the biggest takeaway is to just see how many people are embracing revenue marketing and how it's just really growing as a concept in terms of your marketing activities. And everybody in the room, you know, speaks the same dialogue, and it's all about revenue and generating revenue and aligning sales and marketing. And I think that's what is the biggest takeaway, is just to see this nomenclature kind of permeating throughout the marketing industry.
You know, if we had said revenue and marketer in the same sentence 18 months ago, it really would have been an oxymoron, wouldn't it?
It would have, definitely.
The times have definitely changed, Jody. So let's talk a little bit about ideology, and I want to hear a little bit about your journey, but tell me a little bit more about what your company does and the market you guys serve, Jody.
Okay. Well, ideology is an identity verification provider, and what that means is that we're helping businesses that need to verify consumers make sure that they are who they say they are. So think of it in situations where there is a risk of it being fraudulent or an identity theft, situations like applying for an account, a new account at a bank account, applying for, you know, access to your medical records online, perhaps maybe even ordering a flat-screen TV or a new iPod off of the Internet. So all of these situations, there's potential fraud involved. And in some situations, there's also compliance that needs to happen around know your customer and making sure that people are who they say they are. So what ideology does is we do this in an electronic way, and we're software as a service, similar to Marketo. And basically we will initiate a knowledge-based authentication quiz, which basically is like a set of questions that are designed to determine that you are who you say you are when you can't present your ID in person.
That is such a cool market to be in, and I'm sure it's a very fast-growing market as well.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, fraud, unfortunately, is something that, you know, everybody struggles to keep away, and we can't keep up with all the fraudsters and how fast that they are evolving. So we try hard to evolve just as fast.
It's a terrible thing to say, but fraud is a good business.
Fraud is a good business.
Okay. So, Jody, tell me a little bit about your revenue marketing journey. When did it begin, and what started it, and just kind of go back to the beginning.
Okay, well,
can you remember that far?
It has been a while. You know, it's interesting. I started using a somewhat automated solution years and years ago, before even Marketo was around. And it was basically a fill in a template, answer these questions, and then they take pieces of your template and would send out an email for you. And they'd send it out, you know, 1, 2, 3 times, and then hopefully you'd get some clicks. But there wasn't really a lot of analytics or customization or anything around it. And I thought the concept was really great, but I was like, yeah, the practicality of it just didn't make sense. So I started looking around for, you know, solutions that would kind of help me do what I wanted to do. And my first search on Google was for landing pages. How can I create a landing page on the fly without having to reach out to my designer to change something to, you know, go on a pay-per-click advertising campaign? And I wanted to be able to change my ads, you know, frequently, put in new keywords, change offers, et cetera, but I didn't want to have to engage my designer every single time I did that. So when I did a search for landing pages and, you know, customization, et cetera, Marketo popped up, and they were offering a product that is part of their product now, but it was just a landing page management solution, I guess, is how you would call it. So I signed up for, you know, a 2-week demo, and John Miller, the VP of sales or of marketing, was my trainer to help me learn how to do it. And it was as easy as, you know, building a PowerPoint was creating my landing pages. So I was able to work with my designer, and they put together some templates, and then I was able to change all these templates all the time. And it was really great. So that accomplished one of the, you know, goals that I wanted to do, but I was still in the market for how do I nurture campaigns and how do I, you know, send emails based on, you know, activity. I didn't want to just set up send this email and then 3 weeks later, send it again, and 3 weeks later, send it again. And so I really wanted to make it all interactive and integrate with our sales force. And so I started looking around and trialed a couple of solutions, and I got a call from John Miller, and he said, we are launching a lead management solution, and I really would like for you to be a beta customer. And I said, sign me up. And, you know, I've been off and running ever since. And so I was a customer about 3 years ago when they first started, and I have, you know, evolved as the company has evolved and implemented new features and new, you know, all the lead scoring and all the new products that they've introduced. I am quick to embrace them because everything that they have provided me throughout the years has, you know, just helped me do my job better and to, you know, kind of be a hero in my company.
That is such an interesting story. We were actually I had dinner with John last night, and a bunch of us were sitting around the table talking about people who bought Marketo in the early days really kind of came in from a landing page perspective, and companies buying Marketo these days, you know, the marketers really are a little bit more focused on revenue and the types of revenue results. So I'm sure that along that way, Jody, you also have had some kind of change in focus, in that, you know, it's one thing to do a set of marketing activities. It's another thing to have a set of activities that you do that actually impact revenue. So can you tell me a little bit about how you guys impact revenue through marketing automation and ideology?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, like I said, we're integrated with Salesforce. So, you know, in aligning the sales and marketing team, I think that is, you know, one of the most important things that you would look for in a marketing automation solution is, you know, I think it was the Salesforce marketing person yesterday that actually spoke about their marketing people log into Salesforce every day, and I do too at my own company, because that's where the sales is and that's where marketing needs to be to help support sales and to drive sales, really. And so a lot of the programs that I've set up over the years, I manage and analyze in Salesforce. So as I have, you know, implemented new features within Marketo and moved more towards a revenue marketing model, it's been really important to, you know, integrate the sales and marketing teams using technologies that we can both work for together or use together and see, have insight into, you know, what's going on throughout the whole buying cycle. So I'm very much engaged with our sales team and moving things through the pipeline. And we do a lot of nurturing campaigns for early stage, you know, inquiries, you know, the website and pay-per-click advertising, and you know, even phone calls in generates leads to our database, and from there, we, based on their interests or even based on their industry, we can, you know, launch them into different campaigns to help educate them about identity verification and why it's important. And then as they move through the process, I'm constantly monitoring, you know, what happens to a lead and when it becomes an opportunity. And one of the things that I report on is how many, you know, opportunities are created a quarter and how many opportunities are won/closed. And then also, you know, how many leads did we get, but more importantly, I'm more focused on the opportunities.
And I think that's fantastic, and I'll tell you guys a funny story. I bought my first marketing automation system 7 years ago. This is before the days of Marketo, and I remember telling my marketing team that part of their variable comp was going to be tied to the number of opportunities that got created in Salesforce. Now, we were in Atlanta, and you could hear these people screaming all the way to Seattle. I mean, they did not like it, but it definitely changed behavior, and we had a marketing automation system that allowed us to track that. So clearly creating the number of opportunities that get created is something that you track. Also, the opportunities that you win is also a key metric that you track. Are there other key measurements that you track, Jody?
Well, I mean, I'm definitely, I look at, you know, web analytics and all the data around individual campaigns, et cetera. But, you know, at the end game, I'm tracking how much new business revenue. That's my goal, is I have a percentage of, you know, revenue that I'm responsible for helping to bring in that's net new. We're a transaction-based business, so, you know, I can't define that by the number of customers. I have to define that by, you know, how much somebody does in terms of identity verifications. So, you know, I'm looking at net new business revenue and not, you know, how many customers we sign up.
Yeah, so this is cool. So you just sat there and you told me that you have a quota, basically, that you have to hit of a certain percent of the new business has to come from marketing?
Yes. So, you know, at the beginning of the year, my boss and I sit down and we talk about, you know, how much new business growth we had the year before and what is going to be our target this year. And so we set it and, you know, I basically, you know, it comes in, I mean, year over year we've brought in, you know, over 100%. So
that is simply,
you know,
amazing. So are
yeah.
you paid a variable compensation piece on that?
I'm actually not.
Okay.
That's something that, you know, we haven't done, but.
Okay. Well, I was just very curious about that because, you know, again, I think this is one of those areas where, you know, you're a revenue marketer when you have a quota. I mean, that's pretty clear. I think we can absolutely say that's absolutely positively true. So, and
yeah.
how long, Jody, have you been carrying a quota like that? A year, 2 years, 3 years?
Oh, I've been carrying a quota like that since I walked in the door at Ideology.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's kind of changed. You know, we have evolved from, you know, how many leads generated to, you know, how many opportunities and where do those opportunities come from? So, you know, watching where we're going to spend our money is kind of, you know, important to us. And, you know, when quota was used to be generate more leads, and we've done a really big job of educating that, you know, leads aren't the end game. It's qualified leads, and really, it's, you know, closed one's opportunities or sales. So
absolutely, positively. So I want to ask you one more question, then I want to get to the main theme, which is using demand generation to create competitive differentiation in the market. But
mm-hmm.
Jody, what I mean is your background always been in marketing? I mean, where'd you get a sense of revenue and quota and this kind of accountability? Because a lot of marketers kind of struggle with that.
Yeah, my background has always been in marketing, but it's been in all over all, you know, facets of marketing. I started my career in public relations, worked for a big agency in Atlanta that is no longer. It was called Conan Wolf. And,
oh, yeah, I know Conan Wolf well. I actually spoke to Andy Parrish last night. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I was at Conan Wolf during the Olympics, really.
How cool was that?
Yeah, it was really neat. It was great to work on such big event marketing public relations activities. And then from there, you know, I moved over to basically the corporate world. After Conan Wolf, I, you know, worked at a couple other agencies. I actually helped start the Porter Novelli brand in Atlanta. I was one of their first employees for Porter Novelli in Atlanta. And then I made the switch from an agency over to to corporate. And I worked for a company that was based in Madrid that was also a software company. It was before software as a service, so they were just a software install around HR. And I ran their corporate public relations, but started to really get a sense of, you know, revenue and all the activities that make up, you know, a corporation and running marketing departments. And then from there, I just basically worked for a couple other technology and telecommunications companies and found my way eventually to Ideology. After a brief stint, though, in public corporate marketing for a B2C company, I worked for actually Rentokil Pest Control, which is based out of the UK, and they had a big office in Atlanta. So I did
clearly,
some B2C.
But clearly somewhere along the way, you just have an acumen and a skill set and a talent for using marketing as a revenue-generating part of the organization.
Yes. And I combine that also with my communications skills. So, you know, marketing communications and revenue, it just kind of evolved from there. As a marketing communications person, you're able to have a strategic seat already because you become the voice and the brand. But now evolving that brand into revenue marketing is, you know, where I've been focused, especially with ideology.
Okay. And so let's talk about our main theme. So when I asked Jody to be on the show, and the way we do our interviews is people can talk about anything that they want to. I just want to know what our theme is going to be before we get on the show, because I feel like everyone's story and everyone's journey is going to help somebody who's listening along the way. And so I asked Jody, I said, you know, what are you real passionate about? And she came back, she said, what about using demand generation as a way to create competitive advantage? So I thought, that's a fabulous idea. It's something that I've spoken about quite often. And so we thought that would be, you know, really part of the theme for today's show. So tell me what you mean and tell me what your thoughts are behind that, Jody.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, ideology is a rapidly growing company, but we compete with a lot of really, really large customers or a lot of large companies in the identity space. And so, you know, I guess you'd call us in the terms of web traffic and, you know, brand awareness, when I first started, a small fish in a really big pond and trying to, you know, get more market share and get more attention, basically. And since using a demand generation solution, I have found that, you know, it's a lot easier for us to accomplish a lot with less people, with less money, and be able to actually drive a lot of results. And what I really mean by as a competitive advantage is that we're able to, like, quickly react to market demands and, you know, react with a campaign, react with implementing lead scoring, basically, you know, adapt new processes really quickly, where a lot of my competitors, they're not even doing this. And, you know, I know eventually they will catch on, because revenue marketing and demand generation is where marketing is headed. But until then, it's a really big competitive advantage for me, because they're just still kind of clueless. And I think the quicker people adopt it and use it in their own businesses, the quicker that they gain a competitive advantage themselves.
And clearly in this space, and again, if you take a look at companies who have actually bought marketing automation, and again, that's the fundamental part that powers a revenue marketing practice, we have about 7% saturation in the market. Clearly, small, nimble, agile technology companies, you're going to have a higher level of saturation because of all the things that Jody just talked about, the ability to accomplish more with less, the ability to get more results, the ability to quickly react and really out-respond to some of the slower, larger companies. And, you know, and we're seeing this to be absolutely true. And we've always said that, you know, technology is the great leveler of the playing between large companies and small companies. And we're certainly seeing that with demand generation technologies as well. So, Jody, if you would, talk to me a little bit about, so one of the things, you really pointed out three things, accomplish more with less people, get more results, and also quickly react. Tell me a little bit about how marketing automation has helped you guys accomplish more with less people. Let's talk about that.
Well, yes, definitely. So, you know, basically we run, you know, campaign nurturing campaigns, so we're able to have a lot of touches to our database of people. We're also able to segment our database very easily, so we can, you know, define new campaigns all the time and quickly get them out, you know, whether it's based on title or based on industry or based on where we met someone or based on, you know, what interests that they have. So we can quickly and easily, you know, launch new campaigns to our database. So, you know, in the past, I think a lot of the issues that marketers face in general is working with their data and trying to segment their lists and trying to really understand, you know, what's the ideal customer, how do you find, how do you segment it, how do you, you know, work with a segmented list, et cetera. And the marketing automation tool that we use with Marketo, you know, their smart list functionality is basically enabling us to very quickly look at within our database and pull a list of, you know, people in the banking industry interested in identity or dealing with compliance and send out a campaign specifically to them. And we can do that, you know, for multiple industries. So it's able to, you know, basically help us segment better, which is a key differentiator. So I'd say that that's one of the biggest, you know, ways that we're accomplishing more.
And also just automation features. I was talking to a company in Atlanta about a month ago, and this lady was telling me the story. They weren't using marketing automation. They were just using an email service provider. And she said,
right,
I would have to leave the conference to push, I'd have to leave the conference, I'd have to see who has already registered, pull a list. If they didn't register, I would have to manually push out this part two of the campaign. If they had registered, I would send this other part of the campaign. And everything was being done manually versus being done automatically. And she said the time it took us to do a campaign, she said we just kind of quit doing campaigns because of all the manual effort that was involved.
Yep.
It was just too much.
It wasn't scalable, you know, and that's kind of where I was thinking too. It was like, okay, I don't have the time to do all this. And then the other part would be also when you speak of manually, you bring up a very good point. And one of the other reasons why, you know, Marketo has been such a great thing for us is that I was manually trying to, you know, generate my reports on to see, you know, what has been my impact on sales and what's been my impact and have I reached my personal goals and have I reached our company's goals. And it was, you know, Excel spreadsheets and lists, and it was just a nightmare. You know, getting ready for, you know, quarterly reports with our board was just, it was very difficult for me to really track what was going on. And so, you know, having this automation piece where things move smoothly from campaign to step to process flow to, you know, whatever, automatically, that I don't have to think about it. I can just, you know, go pull the report. So it's cut down on my time as well. So, you know, right then I'm accomplishing a whole lot with a lot less time. And I think that's, you know.
So clearly as a small company competing against larger companies, one area of competitive advantage in using marketing automation is that you can have a smaller team who really acts and produces like a larger team, and that would be a big competitive advantage for you.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's not just for the smaller companies. I think, you know, the larger companies, you know, they have a lot of data to work with too. So having automation is going to help them really understand more what that data is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So,
I want to talk about... Go ahead.
As a smaller company, I would say yes, you know, it's a hands-down no-brainer, you know, using automation tools for me.
So,
and, you know, I will definitely always use automation tools forever.
Oh, yeah, you'll never go back. You'll never go
exactly.
back. Absolutely. The other area that you had talked about that you thought that marketing automation, you know, having a revenue marketing practice helped provide competitive advantage for you guys was really around how quickly you can react. So why don't you share some examples or some more ideas, because I think our listening audience would be very interested in, you know, the quick to react and how you feel like that creates competitive advantage for you guys.
Okay, great. Well, here's a good example that happened early on using Marketo. Is one of the features or one of the things that they have is a daily web activity report. And, you know, it goes beyond just the analytics. You know, I get to know real customers that come to my site, you know, their actual names. And then I also get, you know, inferred companies. So I can see a list of basic, you know, these companies visited your site that I don't know who they are. So anonymously. So my sales guys actually basically, you know, use that, or my inside sales guys use that as a tool for, you know, prospecting and calling out into certain companies and trying to find the right person. And there was one company that we had targeted as an account that we definitely wanted. And we'd been trying to reach out to them. And, you know, we'd been making some phone calls and, you know, really trying to reach them. And our sales, one of our inside salespersons calls this account. And they, you know, this was just a targeted account, one that we had defined as someone that we wanted to go after. Calls the account. And, you know, the next day they show up on our Marketo activity report. So we're like, wow, you know, that phone call really worked. We obviously generated some interest because now this, this company has showed up on our web activity report the next day. Well, we kept calling into that person and finally got, you know, a face-to-face meeting with them. And we were able to go and, you know, present our solution and talk to this person. And, you know, immediately after the meeting, we had, you know, in the time that we'd set up the meeting, we were able to cookie their machine. And after the meeting, we were then able to basically, you know, see that the person that we met with came up to our website and the stuff that they did and the stuff that they were looking at. So we were able to react and, you know, reach out to them and provide additional information based on, you know, areas that they were looking at on our website that they were clearly interested in. So that's one way.
And I'm sure to the prospect, I mean, that makes you feel like you're a trusted advisor, that you're adding value. You're not stalking them. You know, you're just listening, because there's two sides to the conversation. There's the kind of conversation we're having right now, and then there's this online behavior. And they're shouting this online behavior, and you're just reading that online behavior, taking that as intelligence and deciding how best to pursue that particular opportunity.
Right, right. And the online behavior for us is extremely important because, you know, what are they interested in? And you know, how often do they come to our website? And, you know, are they reading our blog? And all the information that, you know, basically, you know, that all of us want our prospects to do, and being able to actually see it is really important. And I think what's even more important and helps us react is that, you know, my sales guys can actually see this activity too. It's not just me sitting in my office with my marketing hat on saying, oh, look at that, this person came to the website, but my sales guys can actually see that activity and can, you know, follow their own prospects and look in, you know, within their Salesforce or within our web activity report and all these multiple ways that they can, like, follow their prospects, basically, and watch their behavior and see what's working.
And I think that's just awesome. So let me ask you this. So we're talking about competitive advantage, and clearly you've outlined, you know, three key ways that you feel like a marketing automation system like Marketo is providing you guys competitive advantage. But if I went to the CEO of your company and I said, I understand that you guys have marketing automation and it provides a competitive advantage for you, what do you think he'd say?
He'd say, we don't want to talk about that because our competitors would find out.
and you know,
he might not even me talking on this show.
I tell you, we see that all the time. It's absolutely true. So we do a lot of work in the publishing space. There's not a publisher that will come on the show. They positively will not do it, because they feel like they're going to be telling, you know, competitive secrets, and they just really don't want things to get out. It's really, you know, very, very funny. That'd be a great comment.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting with that, though, is that, yeah, it is a competitive advantage. It's a huge competitive advantage. But just because someone has the technology doesn't necessarily mean that they're using it correctly. So, yes, because we have it, and I believe we're using it correctly, you know, I think that gives us a great competitive advantage. But if my biggest competitor, you know, ended up buying Marketo or any of the other solutions out there, then, you know, I don't know if they would actually be using it to its full advantage, and so, or if they even could. So
I love this comment.
I love this comment, and you're absolutely right, Jody, because, again, this is, you know, competitive advantage is not because you bought a system. Competitive advantage is because you bought the system, you've institutionalized it, and you've changed key processes and key roles in the organization to become a revenue marketing organization, including that alignment with sales. All of those things have to happen. It's not a function of just buying the technology. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that, 100%. the more you can impress upon, you know, our CEO or your CEO or whoever CEO, that, you know, it's a competitive advantage, but it's not a secret. It's not a, you know, this stuff is coming, and, you know, the sooner you can embrace it and affect change within your company, I think the further along in the cycle and the biggest competitive advantage you'll have. Because, you know, like you said, there's only, what, 7%? Is that what you said? 13%?
About 7%.
7%.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah.
I mean, market saturation is just so far away. So, embrace it now because you'd be an early adopter. And in technology, for me, that's, you know, very important as being early adopters.
It really is. And again, the whole notion of competitive advantage, I've run sales and sales organizations for many years, and, you know, we always talk about competitive advantage, and you want to do anything that you can, to be there and to have that interaction and to shape early on, you know, the processes and the discussions that are going on with the client. And again, marketing automation just gives you the power to do all of those things. So
Right. Since
competitive advantage comes as a result of, number one, putting in place a marketing automation system and then knitting together, you know, the people, the process, and the technology, Jody, how long would you say it took you guys to kind of get to a point where you felt like you had it all working together well and you guys really were and really did have a competitive advantage? How long did it take to knit all that together?
Well, I think it's still evolving. But we definitely, you know, it didn't take us long to adopt it and start running campaigns and start watching data. I mean, we're a data-driven company. So, you know, ourselves, you know, we help our customers, you know, evaluate their own performance data with their, you know, identity verification. So, you know, applying that in our business was, you know, not a difficult leap or step. But so we were able to, you know, basically get up and running really quickly. And, you know, I think it's always an evolving process because it is so new. So, you know, to have things completely, you know, do we feel like we're completely there? I think you always feel that way, or you feel like, yeah, I've got this mastered. I think John Miller said this today, this morning on the stage, you know, he feels like he has got this Marketo thing down and understands everything about the tool, and he even learned lots of new stuff at Marketo University yesterday.
And you told me that last night, that's right.
And I feel the same way. It's like I feel like I've got this whole, you know, revenue marketing process down, and then I realized, no, we still have a long way to go. So I think it's always an evolving step. But the biggest thing is to take that first step. So to actually, you know, implement something, find a solution that works for you, implement it, and just start using it and just see what happens.
I always tell people, how do you eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time. It's the same thing. As you're building a revenue marketing practice, it does not happen overnight. There's too much that has to be done. You can have a very powerful impact, and you can have that impact, quite frankly, very quickly. But to get to a machine that hums, that's predictable, and you know you can feed in this much and get out these many opportunities, that takes a little while longer. So, all right. So let me ask you the second question around competitive advantage, and that is, what would your VP of sales say about Marketo providing you guys competitive advantage?
Oh, he would say 100%, absolutely. In fact, you know, it's interesting because when we go and talk to other companies, you know, basically, you know, just through general networking or go to, you know, any kind of technology event in Georgia or whatever, and we talk to people, and he actually, you know, sings our praises to even our customers about what you know, I'm doing in marketing and what, you know, how we're using marketing automation to kind of improve our process. And so several times he's had me on the call with, you know, some of our partners, some of our customers, helping them, give them advice on, you know, how to automate some of their processes and, you know, the advantage that we have. So he would definitely embrace it.
That's awesome. And then, of course, the sales, the individual salespeople as well. And I'm assuming that you guys use Sales Insight as well?
We do. We do use Sales Insight. And I'll tell you, Debbie, that's been somewhat of a challenge. I think the information is really good, and I think that our sales team, they like it, but they're so used to doing things a different way. So it's hard for me sometimes to get them to embrace change, even when the change is good and they like it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's very true of any sales organization at all. I see that every day. Okay. So if you were to go to the Wall Street Journal and the headline was, you know, marketing automation provides companies with competitive advantage. And here's a quote from Jody Florence. What would you say, Jody, about competitive advantage?
Oh, wow.
Front page of Wall Street Journal.
No, this is big time press.
Big time.
I guess I would say, you know, it makes you, well, from our standpoint, it makes us look bigger than we are. And I think that that's really important for you know, companies to grow. You need something that will help you get there and not drag you down, basically.
Yeah. And also the other things that you said, just the ability to react. It's your ability to compete at every level in your industry.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, marketing automation touches just so many different parts of, you know, even traditional marketing. You know, marketing automation can be worked into your direct mail. It can be worked into, you know, print advertising. It could be worked into, you know, trade shows, et cetera. So it can be worked into your public relations. So, and your search engine optimization and, you know, all the different aspects that us marketers, you know, follow and watch. Marketing automation plays a very important role, at least to me, in making all those things work together and happen and be seamless and, you know, make us smart about, you know, what our prospects are doing and how we get more revenue.
So how is your marketing group structured at Ideology?
It's myself and then some people that work under me as, you know, support. And then we are very aligned to sales and marketing or to sales. So, you know, we basically work daily with all of our sales reps and attend, you know, sales and marketing meetings. And, you know, I report up to the CEO. So marketing, you know, does have a seat at the revenue table at my company. You know, sales does their quarterly updates and I do mine. So it's definitely a team effort. I work closely with a VP of sales to, you know, say, you know, let's try this program or let's think about this. But it's definitely a team effort.
And Jody, did you guys always have a close working relationship with sales?
Uniquely, yes, at least at Ideology. At other companies, that hasn't always been the case, but definitely at Ideology. And, you know, one of the, I think, the benefits for our sales VP was that he had experience with marketing automation before even joining Ideology. So this wasn't a new concept to him. And so it was really good that we approached that in the same way.
So clearly, Jody, you've worked at some companies and you've seen that divide that there is between sales and marketing. And clearly at Ideology, you guys have great working relationships. What advice would you give our listeners for crossing that chasm between sales and marketing? people love to get this advice because you just it's always the problem, right?
It is always a problem. You know, I'd say that I think probably one of the things that I've noticed or possibly could be a hindrance to, you know, getting sales and marketing to work together is I feel it sometimes that sales and marketing compete with each other, and they really shouldn't compete with each other. It's not about, you know, who closes more revenue or who closes more deals or, you know, someone trying to steal something from someone or who gets compensated. It needs to be a, you know, a joint effort about who closes deals for the company. How many deals did our company close? How many new customers? How much revenue are we getting? And, the quicker that you can, relieve those fears from a compensation standpoint from the sales guys, I think the quicker that they're going to be able to kind of accept the help from and the advice from marketing and how they can improve their processes and, you know, rely on marketing to help get those leads quicker for them to close. And then once they start actually seeing that their revenue or their compensation goes a different way then and goes up higher, then you can't keep them away from calling on marketing all the time to help them out.
I think that's also, and that I think that's where every company wants to be. And you're right. I love your notion that you shouldn't come in feeling competitive. I think, unfortunately, so many companies do. And, you know, and quite often we find that just a really, truly significant barrier to success for marketing. But, you know, marketing has to change as well. It's not just sales changing. I mean, both sides have to bend a little, have to begin the discussions. And you're right, it has to be seen as a team effort. And day in and day out, when we go and we take a look at organizations that have built sustainable, predictable revenue marketing practices, that alignment with sales is tight. It's, you know, there's an expectation there on both sides. It's a reasonable expectation, and that you've got a team of people working together toward the same goal. So I absolutely believe that. So Jody, you've been you know, working with these kinds of technologies, you know, for quite a while. And, you know, we're here at the Marketo User Summit, 600, you know, revenue marketers. But if you were to meet someone that was just now beginning to look at marketing automation, what are the top three things, what are the top three pieces of advice you'd want to give to them?
Well, one's very practical and tactical, and it's something that I now struggle with that I haven't done, and it's so simple, is actually defining a nomenclature for how you want to name things within your system. So being able to come back and find a campaign and remember exactly, okay, what did I call it, it can be frustrating. So when you're sitting down and talking about, you know, how you're going to call things and refer to it and save as and all that stuff within your system, it sounds trivial, but I think it's really important to have a nomenclature set up from the beginning. My other advice would be to, you know, just take the baby steps and just do it. I mean, you know, don't worry about not having enough content to do a drip campaign. You know, all you really need is, you know, one piece of content, and you can repurpose that in a couple of different ways, and it's good to go. So, you know, not being afraid to just kind of, you know, start it. And then, you know, I guess my last piece of advice would be to just, you know, definitely get sales involved. I mean, we hear that a lot, get sales involved, but what does that mean? And I think that is really, you know, listening to them and understanding, you know, what are their needs and what are they trying to get. What are the needs of our prospects, and, you know, how can we basically fill that divide between what our prospects need and what we're giving or what we're not giving, and, you know, help support them kind of makes it more successful down the road.
Okay. All right. So I've got a couple of questions for you, Jody, that are coming in through the switchboard. So let me just and again, you know, this is just open. So if you want to share something, feel free. If you don't feel comfortable sharing, you know, that's fine also. But this person wants to know, you know, what percentage of the opportunities that sales gets is contributed from marketing?
That's kind of difficult to answer because I'd say that, you know, I'd say it's a really high number. When I look at, you know, our opportunities that are closed, you know, most of them or our opportunities that are created on a quarter by quarter basis, you know, most of them are generated from marketing. Very few, are just cold call prospects from sales.
Okay.
I'd say, you know, probably less than 5%, less than 10%, cold calling.
Okay, all right. And then this caller wants to know how long from idea to execution on your campaigns?
Minutes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, it takes you a little bit to write it, but, you know, to actually write the, you know, campaign content. But, I mean, literally you can launch a campaign in, you know, under 30 minutes.
That's awesome.
If you have a good idea and strong,
okay.
I mean it's that simple and that easy to do. And
okay. And this caller wants to know what do you call leads? What is your lead waterfall or what is your lead nomenclature? What's your lead definition? Like inquiry lead, marketing qualified lead? What do you guys use?
You know, that's an interesting question because that is something that we are actually taking a look at and trying to put more definition around it. But, you know, essentially a lead to us is, someone that – a marketing qualified lead would be, you know, someone that we would see as being a customer, like has a potential or has a need, or not an expressed need, but a need based on, you know, what we know about the industry. And then a sales qualified lead would be someone that is actually engaged with us and showing some sort of interest, either, you know, asking for a demo or visiting our website or, you know, getting a lead score, building up their lead score. We're putting a little bit more structure around that in terms of definitions, but, you know, a lead.
So you have an MQL that goes to an SQL that goes to an opportunity.
Yes, basically. We go lead, inbound lead. It may sit in the nurturing process for a little bit. Based on lead score, it gets alerted to our salesperson, and then it, depending on, you know, their discussions and qualifications, it would convert into an opportunity.
Okay. All right. Perfect. And then how many salespeople do you guys support?
We're supporting around 5 to 6.
Okay. So 5 to 6 reps. And last question, what is your favorite feature about marketing automation?
Oh, that's a toughie.
That is a toughie. I'm like, how can you answer that question?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, this is my favorite feature because it's what drives everything is the cookie, setting the cookie. And it's also very challenging, though, because we're in the security industry and we deal with a very technical audience. And when you get into the whole privacy discussions, you know, cookies can be not a good topic. And so one of the things that we struggle with is, you know, people deleting their cookies. And so we may know someone and then all of a sudden they delete their cookies and we got to get to know them all over again. So
interesting. I hadn't thought about that angle for you guys.
Yeah. So it's, it's a constant battle to think about cookies and what it means in the privacy industry.
Well, Jody, we have enjoyed you so much today. Thank you for sharing your insights. Thank you for taking time away from the Marketo User Summit. It's been great to have you on the show today. I'll see you on the summit floor in a few minutes. And so for all of our listeners, that wraps up this episode of WRMR. Again, every Thursday at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Tune in and hear what your fellow revenue marketers have to say. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.